As always, I'd like to welcome everyone and thank everyone for coming. And today, certainly, as we've said in the past, this is Wufum Tzara Adra. The reward that's given for mitzvahs is commensurate to the difficulty in performing them, and to get the morning after the change of clock is definitely a very big challenge on any Sunday morning. To get up early to come to learn is an enormous accomplishment, but on this particular Sunday, all the more so. So therefore, a big yashar koyach to everyone for coming. Right. They're not twice as long as yet.
Probably just the ones that were going this week will start coming again.
Yeah. Now I see who my real friends are. So I would like to discuss today something that pertains to Purim. And in the past we've discussed various aspects of Purim. Today I would like to discuss the mitzvah of the Sudas Purim. Now, the idea that there should be a meal, a special festive meal on Purim, is derived from a pasuk that we have in the Megillah towards the very end of the Megillah. It's not here on the sheet, but it says in the ninth parak of Esther, it says, Kimu v'kibla yehudim aleim b'alzara, that the Jews accepted upon themselves and on their children, v'alkol ha'nilvim aleim, and all those who would join the Klal Yisrael, even Geirim, below Yavor, without exception, Leos Osim es Shnei Ayamim Ha'ele, that they should make these days, Tichsavim v'chizmanim, that the days should be made the way in the proper time. And then it proceeds to say, the pasuk says that they should be Yimei Mishteh v'simcha, that they should be days of Mishteh, days of rejoicing through mishteh means that they it was through literally drinking the simcha and rejoicing. So the Chazal tell us that this is a reference to the idea of having a mishteh, the simcha on Purim, is to have a suda on Purim, that there should be a special meal, that there should be a special meal. So Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha, which is found actually in Pasuk of Days, tells us that it has to be that the days have to be days of Mishteh of the Simcha, which is interpreted to mean the Sudas Purim. Now the question comes up: when should the Sudas Purim be made? Now, we know that one of the great challenges of Purim is the fact that Purim is only one day. And there are several mitzvahs that take place on Purim, and the way it sort of plays out, it ends up that oftentimes we find ourselves pressed for time. And that is because you have Purim, the day of Purim, you have to hear the Megillah, which takes time. Very often then women cannot go to the same minyan because they have to wait for the husbands to come home because of concerns with the children or other issues. So therefore, by the time you finish that, and then you begin the process of Mishloach Manos and so on, so the time to perform the mitzvah of the Sudas Purim gets delayed. Now, Baruch Hashem, in recent years we've been given a bonus by the federal government, the fact that they've decided to change the clock to make the days an hour longer, which certainly helps. But nonetheless, very often is a lot of challenge as to when the Sudas Purim should be. So a few points that I would like to address. The first thing is, someone might say, well, why don't we just, instead of having a pressure-filled Purim day, why don't we just go ahead and make the Suda of Purim the night before? Why don't we go, in other words, in this case, Matzah Shabbos a week from last night, so the Matzah Shabbos is going to be Purim. So someone will say, well, anyway, there's a mitzvah on Matzah Shabbos to eat a meal, to eat a Suda Smolach HaMalka. So why don't we make a big Suda, a big Mulav HaMalka, and that'll count as the Suda's Purim. So we find here in the Gemara, this is the first source on the sheet, however the person who made up the sheet wrote from here, and that's not accurate. If we go down to the end of the fourth line, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Sudas Purim Sha'ocho Balayla, that if the Suda of Purim was eaten at night, Rava is referring to the night preceding. The night, the night that Purim begins, Lo Yotze Yidei Chavaso. So the person has not fulfilled the obligation of the Suda of Purim. Why not? My Taima, says the Gemara, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv. Because the Pasuk says, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, that it should be day of Mishta V'Simcha. So the plural, by the way, days Mishta V'Simcha, is because there are different days. There's the 14th for people who live in the regular cities, and the 15th for the people who live in the walled cities. But the fact is that Yimei, days of Mishta V'Simcha, so the Chazal derived that therefore it must take place during the day. So the first option to make the Purim Suda the night before to sort of, you know, take the pressure off is eliminated. It must be on the day of Purim. Now the question then becomes, so alright, if it will be on the day of Purim, so then when during that day should it be? Now one could make the case that since really the in the mitzvahs of Purim, the Sudas Purim is a very basic, fundamental part of Purim. So maybe we should make it right away. Maybe we should make it right away. Come home from shul, let's make the Sudas Purim right away in the morning. It's the reason my demon will mitzvahs. Why don't we go ahead and perform the mitzvah? In a certain sense, the Sudas Purim is really the focal point. It's really the highlight of Purim. So why don't we just make it right away? Why push it off? Another point which needs to be taken into consideration is that very often what happens, maybe not now that the clock has changed, but very often what happens is that due to the tremendous amount of Mishloach Manos that are distributed on Purim or other good beef, people get stuck on Matanos Levyonim, so very often the Suda of Purim gets pushed off till the end of the day. And then you run into the question of the fact that it's not Purim anymore. In other words, if a person waits too long, so then the Purim Suda is not being held on Purim. It's being held on the next day, which is not the time for the Suda of Purim. Yet, it's very, very challenging because of the commitments that we all have on Purim, the various commitments that we have to pull ourselves together. And certainly there is a mitzvah to have the Suda Purim b'chabura. It should not be the Suda Purim. The poskim say a person should try very hard not to eat it alone. Shouldn't just be one person, should be in a group, because it's marva, the simcha, by having a number of people, you know, come together. So then you're dealing with a few people, you know, the oftentimes people get together, whether it's their own family or they're getting together sometimes with friends. So there are a lot of scheduling commitments. So when exactly should this Suda take place? And is it correct to push the Suda of Purim till the very end of the day, at which time it could easily be that if one is not careful, the Suda of Purim will not begin until technically the very end of Purim. And sometimes, you know, a person could even delay until Purim is virtually over. In other words, it's already the Shkiyas Acham, it's already the sunset, and we're just beginning, we're waiting for the last person to show up, and it's not Purim. Technically, it's not Purim anymore. So how do we handle this situation? So there is a very fascinating tshuva in the Sefer Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen, quoted in the past, was written by one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim of the 14th century, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, who really was considered one of the authorities that in Pesach HaLacha usually goes by the later authorities. In other words, we usually say that the later opinions are the ones that carry the most weight. And amongst the Rishonim, from the period of the Rishonim upon which a great deal of the Pesach HaLacha that we have is built, so amongst the Ashkenazim, from even though the greatest of the Ashkenazim Rishonim, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, people like that, the Rosh lived earlier, but we go very often by the how things were sort of put into practice goes by the later authorities. And Trumas HaDeshen happens to be one of the cornerstones of Ashkenazic Pesach Halacha. So he brings down the question. He says that we find in many places that people make the, he says, if you look at the Shaila, he says the Harbe Mekomos Nagu Baalibatim Begam Talmid Chachamim Vlasos Iker Sudas Purim Be'erev, that in many places it evolved that the people make the name Sudas Purim at night, meaning that they start late in the day of Purim, very late in the day, and it doesn't take place at night. For Holchim with a Sechneses, they go to the shul, who mispal and mincha, for low arvis, they go to the shul for mincha, and then they come home, and then the Cholchim with Bateim, and then they do come home and first eat the Suda, and the Suda extends into the night. In other words, in let's say in our case for this year, right, so Sunday afternoon, begin the Sudas Purim, but most of the Sudas Purim takes place already in the evening. It's already Sunday night. It's already technically, halachically, the next day. So the Rova Suda Ivalila. Most of the Suda ends up being at night when, as I say, technically it's not Purim anymore. So the question was asked, Yesh Tamu Minagolo. Is this correct or is it incorrect? Is there a basis for this? So the Trumas HaDeshen says, very interestingly, that in fact, one could find a basis for this practice. One could find a basis for this practice, and he proceeds to quote a very interesting tshuva which he found from earlier authorities, and that is as follows. We find that we know that on Purim, so in the spirit of Simcha, so some halachos are somewhat relaxed on Purim. Like for example, we have the question which comes up very often, people get dressed up in costumes, so there is a halakhic question, can a man get dressed up as a woman or a woman get dressed up as a man, which gets into the halakhic question, there's a prohibition in the Torah for a man to wear woman's clothes or conversely for a woman to wear men's clothes. So the yet on Purim we find that we're lenient in this area. How lenient depends on the poskim. Mishnah Berurah discusses at length different opinions in this area. You know, there are those who say that as long as it took to wear, to completely dress head to toe like the other gender would not be correct, as long as in some way the person showed it to a man dressing as a woman, if he at least in some way it was nicker that it was a man from something that he was wearing, so then even though the rest of it may be the clothes of a woman, that's okay. But the point is, others are a little more strict, but whatever it is, we find that when it comes to the halacha, there's some, in the spirit of the simcha, there is some relaxation of these halachas. Another area where we find that we're lenient is that it sounds a little strange, but it seems that in the spirit of simcha, people would sort of grab food one from the other, that people would be sitting down to eat, and each one would have their own meal. The case in the halacha that they're talking about is where they had bacharim in the yeshiva that sat down and each one had their own food, and in the spirit of simcha one would grab some of the other person's food and the other would grab some of his food. This is what was done. We don't know from this, but this was and fortunately so, but the fact is that this was done. So the he brings down here, so this question, is this permitted for the bacharim, for these young men to grab the food one from the other, is it permitted or not? So in the course of discussing it, so the Riva, who was one of the Balei HaTosfos from the earlier period of the Rishonim, says, Shekol Michael, Shalochim HaBachrim Zemizeh, Hafilu Shalom Rishus, that the food that is grabbed one from the other, even without consent, Mishum Simchas Purim, in the spirit of Purim, Mishas Kriyas HaMegillah, At Laila Su'udas Purim, from the time of the reading of the Megillah until the night, emphasis added, till the night of the Su'udas Purim, Shehem Shnei Leilos Fiyom Echad, that it comes out that Purim ends up being two nights and one day, Ein Bahem Mishum Gneva V'lo Mishum Zeilah. So the Pesach was given that, assuming this was done in the context of Simcha, you know, and pretty much everybody was in on it, and everybody was in sort of in the spirit of things, so there would be no prohibition of Gneiv and Zeilah. This does not mean you could go, you know, rob your neighbor's home on Purim. That's not what we're trying to say here. In the spirit of Simcha, I'll go into the bank and help myself to, you know, what they have in the back. But in other words, apparently this was a certain practice that used to take place. But the point is that in the context of discussing this Shaila, it was said that they would do these things in the spirit of Purim for two nights and one day. Meaning the night of Purim, the day of Purim, and the night after. So, says the Truma, this is what the Rivah says. So if we skip down to four lines from the bottom, so the Truma Sadeshin says, Mitshuva zu mashma lehedya, from this tshuva one can derive the Laila Shnia Iker Hi Lasudas Purim, that apparently the second night is designated for the Su'udas Purim. That's what it sounds like. In other words, even though we would have said not so, right? So the Truma Sadeshin says, but Vadayim Rivah Tikshe says, but you'll ask the question, but in the high time of the Havada Laila Shnia Leil Tzfas, he'll say, but the second night is not the Purim anymore. Ve'hechi Olsen Bodi Dei Su'udas Yom Yudalit. How can one do such a thing? How can one do such a thing? So, in other words, on the one hand, the Truma Sadeshin quotes an authoritative source that says that apparently the practice was, at least in certain places, that the main Suda of Purim extended well into the second night, even though, as I said, technically, that is not Purim anymore. It's Shushan Purim, but we don't live in Shushan. Right, and we don't live. I mean, a person in Yerushalayim, fine, but then Yerushalayim, they have no business eating the soup of the day before. In other words, no matter where you are, Purim is essentially one day. Right? It happens to be that we have the practice that we observe some level of simcha on both days, by us is really relegated. Shushan Purim is the only thing that we really have is that we don't say Tachanun, which this year falls out on Monday, so it's a big simcha that we don't say. But the fact of the matter is that this is the extent of it. In other words, the main simcha of Purim is really on the day of Purim. If you live here or in other cities, it's on the 14th day of Adar, and if you live in Yerushalayim, so then it's on the 15th day. But it's just the one day. Yet we find that apparently the practice going back to the times of the Rishonim was that the Suda extended already into the night, and on the one hand you see they did it, on the other hand the question is why? Why did that happen? Why weren't people careful to just go back and say, why should we do this? Why don't we just make the Suda of Purim similar to the way we make the Suda of Shabbos? Right? What do we do every Shabbos day? So we go to shul, we come home from shul Shabbos morning, and we make the Suda. Of course, on Shabbos, you have to have yet a Suda in the afternoon also, Shal Shudas, but the fact is that we are Kaveya Suda right away. So why don't we do that on Purim? And especially when we have the concepts, reason, makdim, and l'mitzvot, that one is not supposed to procrastinate when it comes to doing a mitzvah, and especially when you consider that what's going to end up happening is that the Suda is going to end up being after Purim. So the Truma Sadeshin says in explanation of this minhag, in explaining why this practice took place. So he says that it seems, he says in the final paragraph, he says, Venira Tam Ladavar, he says it seems that the reason for this is Mishum Devar Ba'asar Shachris. He says the reason is very practical, because on the 14th day in the morning, Sarach Shiyoi B'Kriyas Megillah. He says, because look, poor morning, first thing is you have to hit the Megillah, and that takes a lot of time. Right, depending on a person's logistics, that could take a lot of time. The Acher Kach Hutarud, and after that, a person is busy. The Sholeach Manos Umatanos Levyonim. A person is busy sending out the Mishloach Manos and the Matanos Levyonim. The Ein Pnai Lecho Besuda Besimcho B'Tainim. And therefore, the person will not have time to eat the Suda the way it was meant to be. Meaning that the Suda's Purim was meant to be eaten in a festive manner. A festive manner means that you can't do it under pressure. You can't do it when, oh, I gotta run, I'm constantly looking at my watch, what time is it? Quick, we gotta go get Mishloach Manos, we have to go here, we have to go there, we have all kinds of commitments, we have to go make sure we have people who want to get stuck up, different situations, and it's not easy. There's a lot on the agenda for Purim. So therefore, says the Trumas HaDeshen, that because we have all these mitzvos, so therefore we have the right to push off the Suda of Purim. We have the right to say that, look, we want to do it the right way, and yet on the other hand, we have all these other mitzvos that we have to do. So in deference to these other mitzvos, we'll push off the Suda of Purim. Where do we find a precedent for this concept? So the Trumas HaDeshen, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but he brings a remarkable parallel to this situation. And this is based on one of the obscure laws in the Hilchos Shechita. In the laws of Shechita that we have, there is something that could be, that he feels would be analogous to this situation, and that is as follows. It shows you, you see from this what we're about to say now, how different areas of halacha that seem to have nothing to do with each other, yet could have a bearing one on the other. And that is this, there is a law in the Hilchos Shechita, the Torah tells us, that there's a prohibition for a mother and a child animal to be slaughtered on the same day. This is what's called also vestino, lo sishcha tu bionecha, it's in the Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh. One cannot slaughter, shechita cannot, you cannot do a shechita of a mother and a child on the same day. That is halacha. It makes no difference which went first, either did the child first, he can't do the mother, the child, and so forth. Now, we are not, many of us may not be so familiar with this, but, you know, and the reason presumably is, you know, you never consider when you go into the store to buy a piece of meat to check to see if the, do they certify, does this hechsher certify, they'll tell you it's glatt kosher and then who knows what else, but, do they certify that we know for sure that, you know, the mother and the child were not slaughtered on the same day. Right, so nobody ever asked that question, and the reason is because generally speaking, there's no need to. You know, why would you do that? There's no big pressure. Shechita takes place on a daily basis, so it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to see. You hold off. You don't do the shechita of the mother and the child on the same day. It's not an issue. So they're aware of it. Probably from a practical standpoint, anyway, it wouldn't be done because they first slaughter the animals at a certain age or whatever it is. So therefore, we've never ever concerned ourselves with it. Surely the kashrus agencies do, but it's not an issue. However, the Mishnah in the Sefer Shulchan tells us that in the old days, there were four times in the year that there was a concern of this actually taking place, to the extent that, you know, in the old days, it wasn't like today, that the meat is processed and you first buy it after it's processed. But rather, what used to happen was, if a person wanted a piece of meat, so you had to go through several steps. The first thing was, you had to go to a meat market and buy an animal. Then you would take the animal to a shochet and tell him, please shechet it for me. Or if you knew how to do it, you could do it yourself. And then you have to do the various steps that follow the malicha, hadacha, malicha, the different things, to salt the salt and salt the meat to prepare it, etc. So, but the process, you know, today where, Baruch Hashem, we live in a situation where it's all done. You just go into the store and everything's been taken care of. But it used to be not that long ago. My grandfather's a Baruch Hashem, my father's father was a shochet in Europe first and then in Newark, New Jersey. And my father tells me, he remembers growing up, that the shochetim sat by the chicken markets. And you went bought a chicken from the vendor, and then you brought it to the shochet, and that's the way it was done. So the Mishnah in the Sefer Shulchan tells us that there were four times a year that if you sold an animal to somebody for the purpose of shechita, you had to tell him that be careful because I sold the mother today also. That this animal's mother I sold today also, and therefore be careful, because it could be that the shechita of the mother took place on this day, and you're not allowed by the Torah, even if it doesn't have to be the same shochet. You can't have the mother and the child slaughtered on the same day, and therefore you would have to notify the person. What are the four times of the year that you had to say this? So the Mishnah tells us the first day you had to say it was on the day before Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a very festive day. People eat a lot of meat. And therefore, there was a tremendous amount of shechita that took place in the day leading up to people ate fresh meat. They didn't have refrigeration. So therefore, you know, you did a shechita, you had to eat it right away. So the day before Shmini Atzeres, you had to tell people, this was one day. The next day, you had to tell people was the Erev of Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. You also have to tell them the day before Erev Pesach, on Erev Pesach, right? The day before Pesach, you have to tell them also, because again, the Pesach, a lot of meat is being consumed. And the Erev Atzeres, also the day before Shavuos, in the Mishnah, Shavuos is referred to as Atzeres, and the Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the day before Rosh Hashanah. These were the 4 days. And the Mishnah proceeds to say that Rabbi Yossi Haglili comes and adds a fifth day. And he says also Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, the day, well actually not Erev, on Erev Yom Kippur, which was also a day, there's a mitzvah to eat, obviously not on Yom Kippur, but on Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. So therefore, also, and he's supposed to eat a suda as a mitzvah, so therefore, on these days, there was a concern that there's going to be the shechita of the mother and the child on the same day. This is what the Mishnah tells us. So now, if you're keeping score, you'll say, oh, wait a second, we left something out here. We left out, we counted the day before Shmini Atzeres, the day before Pesach, the day before Shavuos, the day before Rosh Hashanah, and possibly the day before Yom Kippur. But what about the day before Sukkot? What about Erev Sukkot? Why is that not mentioned? That should also be a day, right? The Sukkot is a big yom, the beginning of Sukkot. Why is it just from Shmini Atzeres? So Tosfos, on the side of the Mishnah here, on the Pegim, I regret that it's not on the sheet, this is my mistake, that the Tosfos here says that the reason is, Rabbeinu Tam explained that the reason for this is because the Kulei Alma Trivi B'Sukkah V'Luluf, because the fact is that on Erev Sukkot, everybody is busy with other mitzvahs. Everybody is busy building a sukkah. Everybody is busy going to get themselves a luluf. The ein lahem pnai laharbos b'shchita kol kach. And as a result, they don't have time to do shchita. We don't have time to do shchita because Erev Sukkot is a very busy day because you have other things going on. Now you might ask why is Erev Pesach different, right? So presumably the cleaning for Pesach was done already in advance of that, and therefore wasn't such an issue. But on Erev Sukkot, you know, also one could say, because the women do the cleaning for Pesach, so therefore they had it done well in advance. The men build the sukkahs, so they wait for the last possible second. So therefore, therefore on Erev sukkahs, so that's not as mepharshim as my own fish. The fact is that on Erev sukkahs was considered a day there was no big shiva taking place. People were too busy. So says the Truma Sadesha, and the Truma Sadesha says, amazing thing. There's a mitzvah on Yontif to have meat. There's a mitzvah on every Yontif to have meat. One's supposed to eat the basar, the dogim, etc., just like we have on Shabbos. such a thing, but on Yontif as well. So yet you see that apparently on the first day of Sukkot, it sounds that people ate milchit, that people did not eat meat on Sukkot, on the first day of Sukkot. Why not? Because I have no time. When am I supposed to? It's not just by us, it's easy, because by us you have to go buy it. And with refrigeration, even if you don't have time to go to the store on Erev Sukkot, you go to the store a few days before Sukkot, whatever, it's not a problem. But in the old times, when the shechita had to be done immediately before you consumed it, there was no time. Why was there no time? Because I have all these mitzvahs. I have these mitzvahs to do. Says the Truma Sadesh, so one can draw an analogy and say that apparently you see from this that when it comes to a Suda's mitzvah, a Suda's mitzvah can be pushed off in deference to other mitzvahs that need to take place. In other words, even though there's a special inyan to have a Suda's mitzvah, to have a Suda in certain situations, but because I have other mitzvahs to do, so therefore those other mitzvahs somehow, the Suda gets pushed to the back. The Suda of Basar is...
No, it was a Suda without
the Basar. Okay, fine. So, but the point is that you see from this that a Suda, specifically this mitzvah of having a Suda can be pushed back, can be pushed to the back of the agenda when there is a consideration of other mitzvahs. And on this basis, the halacha is, and this is brought in the Mishnah Berurah, even though we'll see in a minute that the ultimate conclusion of the Truma Sadeshen we don't necessarily go by, but the practice of delivering Shalach Manas before having a Suda of Purim, where one could ask, why do we do it that way? Why don't you do it the other way around? Why don't you come home from shul? And I would make a much different schedule for Purim. Come home in the morning, wait till everyone heard the Megillah, and now let's sit down and have a nice Suda, and then you'll eat the Suda from, let's say, 10 a.m. till noontime, or whatever, however long you want to go, and then in the afternoon, you'll go deliver the Shalach Manas. Right? That would be a schedule that would work just as well as the schedule that we follow, and yet nobody does this. Nobody does this. But everybody knows. You come home, Purim, and right away, until everyone has the Megillah, whatever, and then time for Shalach Manas. Why? Why? Why is it time for Shalach Manas? Why is it time for the Suda? Because you can't drink and drive. You can't drive drunk. Okay. But however, that terrorist would not suffice completely, because of the fact that theoretically you could fulfill the mitzvah of even, you know, the mitzvah of drinking on Purim, which we'll see in a minute, is primarily by the Suda of Purim, right? You could have the Suda, have your drinks, fall asleep, right? Sleep it off, right. And then you sleep from, this is like Shabbos, right? You go, you have the meal, and you take a nap, right? In this case, the nap will be, you know, made easier by the alcoholic help that you have. And now I'll wake up 2-3 in the afternoon, go get Shalach Manas the rest of the day. But nobody does this. So you ask the question, why not? Nobody ever thought of this. We're so resourceful. Nobody ever thought of the solution. The answer is this. Truma Sadeshen is the answer. The answer is because you see that when there is a conflict between, so to speak, between a Seudas mitzvah and other mitzvahs, somehow, some way, the Seudas mitzvah gets pushed to the back of the agenda. And therefore we say, do the other mitzvahs first, and then do the Seuda later. And on this basis, the Mishnah Berurah rules, this is halacha that pretty much everybody follows, is that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is really to be done, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to be done first, not the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sorry, the Ramah, excuse me, on the third page here of the handout, so on the top part of the page, we have the Ramah, that the Ramah says that the practice is that we deliver the Shalach Manos earlier in the day, and then the Seuda of Purim is made first in the afternoon. It's made first in the afternoon. He says we go Daven Mincha first, and then we have the Seuda of Purim. This is the way it's codified in Halacha. Right? We don't, it's amazing. We do this every year. Nobody ever thinks about it. Like, why don't you do it the other way? Why don't you do it the other way? And give the Shalach Manos later. What's the difference? It'll be the same hours. Mincha Gadol, yeah. Mincha, well, it could be any Mincha you want, but even Mincha Gadol, correct. In this case, it's commonly done Mincha Gadol. Okay, so now, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's conflicting if you are doing the Mincha Gadol. It's very first of pulling.
Yeah.
If you show up Manos.
Yes.
That you do show up Manos, it's not first for them. That everybody should sit and eat with them, enjoy.
You're saying, of course, the Mishloach Manos is you should have food to have, according to there is an opinion like that, that the Mishloach Manos is to have food for the Seuda of Purim. Okay, alright, but let's say by us, we don't do that, right? Nobody relies on the Mishloach Manos to have the meal on Purim. Maybe in the old days it was like that. Today, you know, maybe you'll... I understand, but you could do it the other way around. What's the difference which you do first?
You have a long day.
What do we do on Shabbos? Shabbos we have, you go to shul, you come home, you eat, then you go to other first days. And now it goes to shul, to attend the shir. There's a lot of time. So you could do things, in other words, the Seuda, which is central to the, you're right, these other mitzvahs are very beautiful, basic mitzvahs. But I'm just saying, no one ever does it the other way around. You never see a person do it the other way around. Why, right? You have to ask yourself the question, well, I never in my life saw such a thing. Why? So this is the halakhic explanation. The halakhic explanation is, and this is derived remarkably from the laws of Shechita, because we find when it comes to Shechita that we push back that in the old times, in the times of the Mishnah, and perhaps it sounds even the Gemara, the practice was that people very often ate a lesser meal on the first day of Sukkot, or the first days of Sukkot, that they, it sounds like that from the Mishnah, they ate milchit, that they ate dairy meal. They didn't have meat because of the fact that on Erev Sukkot, I can't start with Shechita, I have no time for Shechita now. I'm busy building a sukkah. I'm busy getting myself a lulav. This is the psak of the Trumas Hadesh. Now, because the hour is late, let me just try to finish up here. So, I don't want to go too much over. So now, this being the case, now at this point, everybody holds by this. This is undeniable. Everybody goes by this. Right? This is, you ask yourself the question, have you ever seen anyone do it the other way? Never seen it. Right? We just take it for granted. We do it year after year. As if there's a formal schedule that's printed up. But no one, who made the schedule? Right, you have to do the mitzvahs. Do them any way you want. Do them any way you want. Right? Why should I do one, this one before that one? So the fact is that this part of the Trumas Hadeshen is accepted without question. Now, however, the Trumas Hadeshen took it a step further and said that if that's true, so now we could say that if the Seuda of Purim, the Melech gets pushed to the back in the sequence of events, it gets pushed to the back, so therefore it could be that a person is is involved heavily in these other mitzvahs, and like was said, these mitzvahs promote reus and achdus, friendship and love between Jews, which is a very needed thing. So therefore it could be that it gets so pushed that it could even be that you'll end up eating the Suda's Purim late in the day, and the main Suda of Purim will take place first at night, when it's technically no longer Purim, says the Truma Sedeshin, but that's okay. But that's okay, because the fact is that this is the way they set it up. This is the way they set it up. It has a halakhic basis, and that's just, what could you do? That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. This is what he wanted to say. And therefore he said that very often the Suda Purim would get pushed to the end of the day. However, so now if we go by this, so then okay, wonderful. Then there's no pressure on Purim. You can sit, you can give out as many shalom as you want, you can give as much matanos of yonim or other giving of tzedaka, which is on Purim so basic to the mitzvah of tzedaka, people sit a lot on Purim involved in the giving distribution of tzedaka, and then at the end of the day we'll get involved with the suit. However, the Truma Sedeshin himself, at the conclusion of this discussion, writes, the last two lines, he says, Avki Ashafki Min Hazeh, he said, even though I have reconciled the practice that takes place, Mikomokom Rabosai Vani Akareyem Nahaginan Iker Suda B'Shachris, he said, nevertheless, that my Rebbeim and I myself don't do this. And I make the Suda the Shabbos. I make the Suda in the morning. How do you like that? Right? So here he's giving like a whole case that it should be Mutti. He brings a Raya from Sukkah, right, from Sukkahs. And then at the end of it all, he says that I'm telling you that this is, people who have this minute, this is why they do it, but I don't follow that minute. The typical Jewish response to a question. Right? In other words, this is the basis for it, makes a lot of sense, we have a good proof, but nevertheless, I don't do this. Okay.
Their
Suda probably
still went into the night.
Their Suda probably still went into the night. That's why he doesn't tell us, it's left to the imagination. Okay, so just in the interest of moving along here, just very quickly, if you turn over to the next page, so a stricter opinion is found in the from the students of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon said that Suda's Purim Ikra Bayom, that the Suda's Purim should be, namely, should take place in the day of Purim, Al Kenu Nachom L'Tavin Lotzes B'Suda Shachris. So therefore he says that what a person should do, apparently, in the old days, and maybe by today even by people, on Purim, a lot of times you're so busy that I know myself, you just grab a few shalachmanis and you while you're driving around, the kids have to get dressed up and all kinds of things. So you don't really have time to eat very much. You come into the Suda starving, right? Because you grab a hamantash here and a cup of coffee, maybe someone brings you a timely shalachmanis, and that's the one, I'll eat it right away, right? But apparently the minute really was, and I think still is by many people, that they eat an earlier Suda on Purim also, that even though you don't have to, but people, it's like the younger. So therefore, you have to eat something anyway. You can't starve all day. So therefore, people would somehow find the time to eat a meal earlier in the day on Purim. Says the Vilna Gaon that one should have in mind when he eats that meal that this should be the Suda's Purim. Here I'm eating it. It may not be with all the hoopla, but at least I'm doing it completely on the day of Purim, and that way I'm also the mitzvah for sure. But then it says further here, "Behuzal also sudaso the mishnah v'simcha kula bayom." The Vilna Gaon himself was meticulous. Listen to this: that he would make his suda with all the festivities completely during the day of Purim. Completely, it didn't go into the night at all. He says, "Ukeshehivshich," and when it became night, and thereby Purim was officially over, his follow Ma'ariv, he would go down to Ma'ariv immediately, to Chaza Ulimudo, and then he would go back to his learning. Now, his Vilna Gaon was immersed in learning Torah all the time. So imagine a Purim like this, right, that he ate the Suga completely in the daytime, and then as soon as it got dark, as soon as one was able to daven Ma'ariv, he went out and daven Ma'ariv, and then he sat back down to learn as if nothing ever happened. This was the Vilna Gaon's way of celebrating Purim. Now, we maybe don't connect with this so well, but it's just interesting to know that this is what some people did. So what is the bottom line that comes out of this? I'm skipping a little bit, but how does it all shake down? So if you turn to the next page, the source number 5, which is the Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah, who is the ultimate authority on practice, certainly amongst Ashkenazi Jews. So the Ramah says here, which is in the top paragraph. The Ramah says the last 3 lines of the top paragraph. V'nagin laso sudas purim la'achar mincha. So the Ramah sort of made a compromise. The Ramah made it, so we have the 2 extremes. You have the Trumas HaDeshen, who tells us that it's a very good case to say that you should be involved in Shalach Manas and Matanas Lavyonim, you know, as much as necessary, and then you'll worry about the Suda later, which is what a lot of us do, right? Then, you know, whatever, when things sort of settle down, and I can have peace of mind, I don't have to run to yet another place and another place, right? I could finally relax. That's when I'll have my Suda. That was the practice that the Trumas HaDeshen described. But then he himself said, but he didn't do that. He did the opposite extreme almost. He made a Suda's Purim in the morning. And the Vilna Gaon apparently made the Suda's Purim completely in the daytime. So we have a whole range of opinions. So what should one do? So the Ramah here rules. I believe the Sfarim go by this also, even though it's here in the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Minogim lasa sudas purim la'achar mincha." The Ramah suggests a diplomatic halakhic compromise. All right, and therefore one should do the following. To make the Suda in the morning, the Ramah says that he's not really saying it as a pesach. He's saying minhagim. He's saying this is the custom in his time. Ramah lived in the 16th century. The custom was, the way it evolved was that in fact people took to heart the law of shlita and what the Trumas HaDeshen said on a limited basis. In other words, the first matter of business on Purim was they went to Yad HaMegillah. That was number 1. After that, in fact, they got involved with Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavyonim. However, they sort of restricted themselves, that they made sure that at the same time, we're not going to go to the other extreme and push the Suda all the way till the end. But rather, we wait till the time for Mincha. Now, the time for Mincha, he doesn't mean like we commonly daven Mincha in our shuls. In other words, for convenience reasons, right, we usually daven Mincha right before the sunset on a regular day. When are the shuls having Mincha today? 15 minutes before the sunset, 10 minutes before the sunset. Now, if you did that on Purim, then you're guaranteed that if you're going to daven Mincha first and then eat the Suda, the Suda will be mostly not on Purim. So that's not an option. So what he's suggesting is that people would daven Mincha somewhat earlier, or whatever time you want, as long as it's in the Zman Mincha, right? They would daven Mincha. The Arvis is followed by Laila. They would not obviously daven Ma'ariv right away because they couldn't. They would wait till the night. And umistawa mincha tchila ba'od hayom gadol. They would daven mincha when the day is still great, meaning when there's still a lot of time. For rov ha'suda tzricha liyos hayom. And most of the suda would take place, is supposed to take place, by the daytime. And he says, below kamosha nagin umistawa son of le'erev, and not like a lot of people do, that they wait to eat the Suda Purim until the very end of the day, the Ikra Suda Hilel Tezvav, and then it comes out that most of the Suda is being eaten after Purim. So the common halachic recommendation, which the Ramah tells us, which not everybody does because of the time constraints, and different commitments that people have, and it's very difficult. But today I think it's gotten even harder and harder, because you have today with costuming and all kinds of things, and the kids, you know, have to be dressed up just a certain way. You have to go to the teachers and the this and the that, and all the shalchmanis and the golden cars, and you know, you get something here, Barshan, not so fast. You go up in New York, that terrible, terrible traffic on Purim. You can't get down the block. It takes 20 minutes to get down certain streets because the cars are double and triple parked. Everyone's just running in to drop off a shalchmanis by somebody. So the reality that a lot of people do is that they push it to the end, which is what the Trumas Hadeshim said there might be there's a basis for. However, the Ramah, the ultimate authority, so to speak, when it comes to the halachic practice of certainly of Ashkenazim, says you should not do that. He says what's better is that if a person can, a person should make every effort to begin the Sudas Purim earlier. In such a manner, a person should give out the shalachmanis first, but should try that most of the Suda of Purim should be eaten when it's the day of Purim. When it's the day of Purim, meaning that Sunday afternoon as opposed to Sunday night. Now, what is considered most of the meal? So the post can say, either a mother doesn't say it, but others say that means that the main course, in other words, the meat, right, the Rambam, which I glossed over, the Rambam says that the special mitzvah and Purim person should eat meat. If it's possible, person should eat meat. And therefore, the main course should be eaten, at least to some degree, when a person should try hard to eat it when it's definitely the daytime. In other words, if the shtia, I don't know what time it's going to be now today, now Baruch Hashem, the clock has changed, but if the shtia is going to be at 7:45 or at 7:25, or something along those lines, 7:30, so then to start the Purim Sudah at 7 o'clock isn't really the preferred thing to do. The preferred thing would be to start the Purim Sudah earlier, but how much earlier is up to everyone. And then, you're supposed to do it at a point that you can enjoy it. If you're going to be harried because I have to run out for shalachmanis, that's not doing it the right way either. But a person should make every effort to back it up so that at least the majority of the Suda could be eaten on the day of Purim, and then the celebrating extends into the night, that's fine, but at least that way everybody is happy, and halakhically speaking, and one has had his Suda mainly on Purim.